At the Races with Steve Pick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming to the bottom of the hour. We'll have three rapid-fire conversations. Brian Skirka from Monmouth, and then Tony Black, and Rich Eng. So let me get Brian in here and say good morning, Brian Skirka.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Not at all, and only saw you briefly. You were high atop Monmouth in the administration building, looking down, sort of presiding over Haskell Day.
That's our little secret spot. We were laughing because that's the spot to be when the horses are in the paddock for the Haskell, because in a normal year, you can't, it's like a sardine can in there. So we get kind of the great view and don't have to worry about bumping into everybody. But this year, there was hardly a person to be found in the paddock, but we still kept our tradition and stood atop the admin building to see a great view for a great race.
I'll use the opportunity with our conversation to, you know, once again say thank you to Monmouth, just the one day of broadcasting instead of two or three, but you know, to be able to come down and just spend the couple of days and, you know, under the conditions, a tremendous job by everybody. And of course, I've also got to thank Dennis Drazen and John Himes and Tom Lucci and everybody for the Bill Handelman Award to be acknowledged by Monmouth the way I was. It means a tremendous amount to me, and to be associated with a turf rider of Bill's ability and magnitude, I'll really treasure it. So it was special. It's always special to be down there, but and even under the unique circumstances, it was a really terrific Traverse Haskell.
And congratulations, very 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 rewarding and well deserving of the award, Steve. Thank you for all you do for us.
Not at all. Let's talk about what you're doing, and you're going to bring them all together. One of your big, you know, Monmouth, and you particularly have hosted and managed a very strong contest season year long, and whether it's NHC spots or BCBC spots, you know, you've got typically a qualifying series and then, you know, some features. This is about as big as it gets, actually, and you've incorporated TVG and ExpressBet for players to utilize. Talk about Saturday's enormous opportunity for players.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as the whole country and world, you know, is dealing with, and, you know, it's not a normal year. So in a normal year, we would be doing our normal handicapping contest on site about one a month, giving out, you know, typically in a year we give out 50 spots to the NHC, give or take, each year. We love doing them. We love the support that we get from players around the country. This year, obviously, we can't have people flying in from all over to play in these big contests, so we still wanted to do, at the very least, our big one, the $2,000 Pick Your Prize Handicapping Challenge, which we're going to do this Saturday, and then hopefully as the year progresses, we might even be able to do more, and who knows, maybe even do an on-site one or two. But Saturday is the big one, the $2,000 Pick Your Prize. We are using TVG and ExpressBet, so I'm very thankful to those two groups to come on board and for all the work they're doing to help us put it on. And we're super excited about it. You know, we lose kind of the element of that NHC element of having everyone all in one room, you know, the camaraderie and the rooting and all of that stuff. But at the same time, you know, some people who wouldn't have been able to play on site, you know, travel-wise and whatever in a normal year are now able to play from home. So we're definitely, we've had some people register that, you know, I'm not super familiar with in terms of doing this in the past, which is good. You know, it's always great to have new people involved and a lot of very familiar names from years past as well. So I'm looking forward to a really good and exciting contest and learning some things. We've never done an online contest before, ever. And we've, you know, now been forced to this year. So things like leaderboard and you know, combining tote companies onto one leaderboard and doing one of the fun aspects of this contest normally is it's literally a pick your prize. We print out a big prize board, and at the end of the contest, everybody walks up and picks, you know, their prize off of the board and rips it off with Velcro, and they take that prize home with them. Obviously, that's not happening with this contest, but we're doing a pick your prize conference call at the end where everyone can go one at a time on the line. So it'll be a learning process for me and everybody, but hopefully we can take elements of this and add them to our normal contest schedule once hopefully the world gets back to whatever normal is going to be.
Let's lay out the buy-in and the structure and everything. I've actually also got the overnight for Saturday because it's all Monmouth and it's a 13 race card, including, by the way, the second running of the Irish War Cry. And the number of prizes, and this is based on 200 entrants, and you would think, you know, with enough advance notice and with as popular as the contest is, you know, just among locals, with a national audience, Brian, I would think that it'll be easy to draw 200. To lay out how many of what and, you know, what people have to do.
Sure. So it's a $2,000 buy-in. Half of that is bankroll. Half of that goes into the prize pool. As I said, you can play through TVG or ExpressBet. So if you're playing through TVG, you have to register and pay through me. I can give my contact info at the end, or you can just go to our website and it'll be on there. If you're playing through ExpressBet, you can either pay through me or go directly to ExpressBet. They have a tab where you can sign up directly there through for the contest and pay through your account. And then, like I said, based on that 200 entries, we're going to give out 18 NHC seats, 4 BCBC seats, and $65,000 in cash. And it all is, you know, adjustable based on the actual number of entries. So last year for the on-site contest, we actually had 222 people. And if memory serves, we gave out 22 NHC seats. And the way that the prize selection worked out, you know, some people pick cash before NHC, you know, third double qualifier or something. Last year, the 27th place finisher, the person who finished in 27th place, ended up going home with an NHC seat. So to me, that makes this contest one of, if not the best, qualifying opportunities in the country, where, you know, the goal for a lot of these men and women is to qualify for the big one in Vegas, and if you finished 27th last year, you accomplished that goal. So that's a heck of an opportunity in my book.
Well, and the cash involved here as well makes it worthwhile, even if people, you know, already have, if they're happy with one seat or if they've double qualified, that experience from last year's numbers tell you really all you need to know, that there'll be more, you know, more players doing that. And frankly, with so many people playing online anyway, I think, you know, the popularity will be extensive. You got 48 hours, we should mention. You've got to register and take care of, you know, the business end with Brian by noon on Saturday. So let's, you know, essentially, yeah, 48 hours and 24 minutes. Give your information now, too, Brian, so if people want to email you right away or, you know, call the office.
Sure. So either whatever's easiest for anyone out there, call or email, same ease for me. So my number, direct number in the office is 732-571-6595, or you could email me at bskirka@monmouthpark.com. So it's B as in Brian, S as in Sam, KIRKA@monmouthpark.com. If you are playing through TVG, if you could sign up with me by the end of the day Friday, that should be sufficient. And then any ExpressBet player, if you want to sign up Saturday morning before noon, that's fine. But I do ask, if you plan to play through TVG, if you could get in touch with me or sign up by Friday, that would be tremendous.
The contest portion for, you know, what you can play, the betting menu, win, place, show, exacta. No multi-race or multi-horse, you know, more than two horses, nothing above exacta level. So no tries, supers, pick threes, etc. No super high five, blah, blah, all that stuff. Strictly straightforward win, play, show, and exacta. And it's $100 on 10 races.
Correct. Yep, those are just the minimum. So at any point, anyone can bet. You know, if you want to go all in at any point, you're more than welcome to. provided that by the end of the contest you've bet at least $100 in at least 10 of our races. And as you said, there are 13 races, so we're not, you know, we're not making you bet every single race. If you happen to get shut out at some point, you know, you do have an opportunity to make that up later on. And it is, you know, the one kind of big change to the format is being online only. It's Monmouth Park only races, just from a, you know, a financial standpoint. It doesn't do us much good, if really any good, if someone out there is betting a different track on an ADW, even part of our contest. We don't get any revenue from that. So from a financial standpoint, it's Monmouth only. But once we get back to an on-site contest, we'll add a couple other tracks in there. But Monmouth only this time around.
Well, and we want to, again, just stress what a, you know, monstrous opportunity, you know, for if anybody has, you know, been delayed, or, you know, I know that last week the Express Bet contest didn't seem to draw as much as it usually does. You ended up with six qualifiers. I mentioned five of the names yesterday, and there was a six. I knew there was at least five, but Robert Rosette, Randy Gallo, Alexis Epp, John Farrar, Cheryl Kaufman, and Ron Tackett also. Ron was the sixth qualifier. So take another shot if you didn't get it done last week. B Skirka, B-S-K-I-R-K-A, at MonmouthPark.com, 732-571-6595. And Brian, we'll be looking forward to the leaderboard. I'll give everybody another reminder tomorrow going into the weekend. This is as big an opportunity as guys are going to find. And gals, $2,000 buy-in, $1,000 for your bankroll, $1,000 to the prize pool, and it's a big one.
Yep, and we'll have, it's good that you mentioned the leaderboard, we'll have a link to the leaderboard right on our homepage that it'll update after every live race. So whether you're in the contest or, you know, you're just following along playing from home, just go to monmouthpark.com, and right smack in your face will be a link to the leaderboard that everyone can get to on Saturday.
Outstanding. Brian, I appreciate it. It was great seeing you Saturday. We'll be watching, and we'll probably talk to some of the qualifiers next week.
Great to see you as always, Steve. Congrats again on the award, and thanks so much for having me out.
Not at all. Brian Skirka, everybody, from Monmouth, and the contest players in and around the, not just the tri-state area, not just Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, but, you know, into Pennsylvania and Delaware and so forth. Monmouth is one of the real target venues all during the year, and so under the circumstances, they'll make an adjustment, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of flog that, because if people weren't aware, I didn't realize it until I was poking around preparing for yesterday's visit. Nice, fun visit yesterday with Jack Schwartz. Tony Black is standing by. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Interesting show today. Enjoyed Sean Clancy. And I know the next time I see you, I'll make sure I keep my keys in my pocket.
Yeah. He was so funny this morning, but then he seemed sad. I was sort of a little maudlin.
I could understand that. You know, I took my little boy to Saratoga last year, and he never saw racing in that light before. And, you know, it's such a beautiful place, and racing's so wonderful and beautiful up there, and it's interesting, and it's everything you could ever expect racing to be. And he couldn't believe, you know, I knew half of the people that were up there. And then you think about how special it is, and then you think about what's going on now, and it's kind of disheartening. And I think it got to Sean a little bit that it's not the Saratoga that he's known since the 80s, this one meet, you know. And it'll make us appreciate more next Saratoga than we've ever appreciated it. But he was a good interview. In fact, all your interviews have been good this morning. I enjoyed them all.
Well, now we've got to talk about another downcast topic. The story that came out yesterday afternoon coming out of Minnesota. And Denny Velasquez, who, you know, is an accomplished journeyman, caught by the Minnesota Racing Commission and officials with a you know, with a device, you know, with a joint and a gun. His possession as well. And, I mean, this is just inexcusable and pathetic. And it just, you know, it's bad for the game. It's bad for riders. I don't know what to say.
Well, you know what, Steve? It's an illegal device. I mean, the guns, they were illegal, too. I mean, he had no permits for them. But the machine, the electrical device, whatever you want to call it, a joint, it's an illegal device. I've known riders over the years that have almost, and not many, but they had the reputation of using it, and I'm sure they used it as a selling point when they wanted to get a trainer's attention. This jock didn't need to do that, you know, and no jock needs to do that. And you know, it's a dangerous device. You know, I've been on the racetrack since I was a little kid. I was born in 51. I was around racing and on farms since the 50s, 60s, and lived near racetracks, lived on farms. I know just about anything that any story's been told about anything on the racetrack. I know which ones are the stories that are truthful and which ones are the stories that are just BS. But this device is illegal for a lot of reasons. And, you know, the public sees it as an inhumanity. It's an inhumane device. And to some degree, it is. Is it more inhumane than someone using an old-fashioned stick with a heavy popper and a real thin shaft that left welts? And I've seen horses over the years that the stick caused welting and actually breaking the hide and bleeding. Is it as inhumane as that? No, probably not. But we've monitored that situation and we've upgraded it to where we have sticks that are more threatening than they are painful. There isn't a lot of pain like from these new sticks with the high density foam and the thick shafts. But there's a lot of reasons that this electrical device is illegal. And, it creates a stinging sensation that's abrupt and immediate, and it goes away as fast as it comes on. You know, you've been shocked by in your life by maybe a wall socket or some electrical cord. This is an electrical device that uses low voltage, low wattage. It's a handheld device. It's no bigger than a AA battery. You know what I mean? So, but it does create a stinging sensation. Number one, it's probably more humane than some of the electrical fences that are on these farms to keep horses separated. It's probably just as humane as using a bark collar on your dog, or inhumane, whatever you want to call it. But horses are not broke to this device. It's not something that they ever supposedly are supposed to have feel the sensation of it when they're being broke. The sensations they feel are the use of the stick, your hands against their neck, and possibly the heel of your boot when you're urging them to go forward, you know, and you might kick them with your foot. They know those sensations. An electrical device used on a horse could cause a reaction. That horse could go up in the air, go left, go right, prop. You don't even know what his reaction is going to be to it. And it's so stupid and dangerous for a rider to put himself and other riders in the position of not, you know, of him using it on a horse and not knowing which direction that horse is going to go in a race. And in the morning, if that's what he was testing the horse with it, you know, and that's why it was in his car, you know, it's still inexcusable. Horses are not broke to this device. It's an illegal, dangerous device and should be. Can you not, you know, the other thing, even if the horses, say we came up to modern tech and we said, oh, this is a high-tech device, we're going to start using it. Could you imagine if you broke horses to this device and you had jockeys riding races with this handheld, it's no bigger than a battery, a AA battery, right? And the one thing you can see a jock doing, and I've been thinking about this, and maybe you know, it sounds stupid, but at least when you see a rider riding a horse and he reaches and takes his crop and raises it and waves it at the horse and comes down on the horse and strikes him with it, you can see he's using the crop. You could never monitor if he's using this thing, if it was a legal device, which it's not, and it's stupid for a writer to even get involved in this stuff. I just can't believe that this guy let himself get sucked into a situation or succumb to a situation where he was trying to promote business, or he thought it was that important to try it on a horse to make a horse run or win a race. It's so disheartening to see these types of things come out in the press. And I'm so disappointed when I see riders that succumb to this type of use of a device. It's ridiculous, Steve. It really is. It just gets me so incited. But I want to reach and hit them over the head when I hear somebody that's even selling themselves to a trainer. Well, I'll plug this one in. Maybe he'll run better. I hate that. I've heard it over the years. I've heard everything there is to be heard over the years.
Sure.
And you can't be on the racetrack 50 years and be 68 years old and not see everything at least once. Seen it all.
Yeah, we've talked about this, I don't know, in 15 years. Probably, there's been, three, four incidents? And you would think at a certain point, guys would be smarter. They just wouldn't, it would just fade from existence. You would think seeing guys get caught would be enough to just say, this isn't worth it. This is idiotic. Why am I doing this?
Steve, it just really downgrades the mentality that the people have, the mindset that people have of the rider mentality. I mean, it's embarrassing. Yeah. It makes me feel like this is what I am and this is what I'm going to be looked as being. And I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with these guys? You know, there's no excuse for this. And over the years, and the public doesn't understand it exactly. Like I'm trying to say, it's not a device that's so inhumane that it's going to kill a horse, and no. Not. That's not it. It's an illegal device for a lot of good reasons, and it shouldn't be used, and it shouldn't be around horses. And it's not so much that the sensation that it causes on a horse's neck when it's used is any more hurtful than striking them with the old type of sticks that we used to carry. Probably isn't, but it's illegal, and horses aren't broke to it. And they shouldn't be subjected to it. And riders that are behind them or next to them shouldn't be subjected to some dumb ass rider that's using it. It's ridiculous.
And we don't know. They're actually my friend Scott May is now the head of the Minnesota Commission, and he obviously can't comment on too many of the specifics, but. Yeah, so we don't even know if they think device was used in a race, but just possession of it is the fact that you have it is enough. What doesn't make any sense here is Denny Velasquez has a viable career that he just ruined and he ended.
Right.
It's pathetic.
Not only for his career, but what it sets as an image of what a jockey is. It's disheartening. It downgrades the whole profession when you get things like this occurring in your profession and by a reputable person. It just is disheartening. It downgrades everything you stand for, your integrity, your credibility. It just downgrades it, and the public doesn't think more of you, they think less of you because of something like this. And they're saying, oh, look at this guy. Look what he was doing. Now, how many races did he win that he shouldn't have won? And it just gets be a situation that's embarrassing. But more so than that, he's ruined his career, and it's downgraded to what people think of jockeys in a lot of cases. You don't think less of me, do you, Steve?
No, but it reinforces negative perception that people have, and it makes it convenient for the game's critics to attack. What he did to himself, that's his that's his cross to bear. But the fact that he you know, injures everybody else, that's inexcusable on top of it. So very, very – I saw that last night, and I just shook my head and just – but, you were going to visit. Tony, before I get Rich Eng in here, I got to want to get – now, it's going to be very tight for Rich, but I do want to get a play or two from him. Any thoughts? We were up in Monmouth. It was nice that there were some people there on Saturday for Haskell Day. They set a record in Handle. So that was great for, for management that's enduring things. Did you watch? What'd you think? Is that a horse that wants to go a tenth furlong, or is nine enough for offense?
Well, he sure didn't prove he wants to go any further than what he went the other day, because the fractions were, real mild fractions, and it looked like at the end he was lucky he hung on. Mike Smith almost got caught in New York traffic. But, when it comes to the whole situation, if there's some excuse that wasn't visible to the public's eye, like if somebody would say, oh, yeah, we were back at the barn, they stroked that horse after the race, and he trickled a little bit, whatever, or he's got something else going on physically, then I could say, well, we'll give him another shot. But if that's all he's got, it doesn't make you want to think that he's a Derby prospect. And the Derby's going to be interesting this year. I just got a call from Alexis Hardhill. I don't know if you remember Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Hardhill, the late Dr. Hardhill. Well, mm-hmm. His daughter stays in touch with me. We've been friends for years, and I was friends with Doc Hardhill for years. But she said in Kentucky it's going to be interesting because, like in so many racetracks, they're going to have just the local riders. And I guess where the Derby is going to be that way, it's not going to allow riders to ship in. Is from what I understand, this is what she told me yesterday. Now, I don't know how accurate the information is, but they're going to confine the jocks.
I don't think they've made that determination.
I this is what she told me yesterday, and I said, I haven't heard anything about it, Alexis. She
interesting.
Said, that's what I've heard. I said, well, so maybe I shouldn't even be telling you this, because if it might just be something that she misinterpreted. But she called me yesterday just to tell me this, that they thought they were just going to combine it to the locals, and it'll be a credit to the locals, because she mentioned riders like Jimmy Graham and some of these other riders. They deserve a chance to ride the better horses. But we'll see what happens. One thing about this year's Triple Crown's definitely is something new that that's happening, that we're experiencing, and we'll just see what happens.
Tony, I appreciate it. I appreciate the frank response to the story last night about Denny Velasquez, and we will catch up next week.
All right, you take care. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Thanks, bye. Tony. Tony Black, everybody, and got about 2.5-3 minutes. Rich, I'm sorry. We just kept, we kept getting tighter and tighter on timing. Rich Eng, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Rich, some thoughts, first of all, from last week and, your early impressions. You were able to focus on Saratoga, and, in fact, you churned out some Saratoga analysis on racedaylasvegas.com.
Yeah, I do have a Saratoga sheet for today, so if people go to my homepage at racedaylasvegas.com, they can use the PayPal link and purchase it for today. And if people have any issues, they can always email me, and I'll help them out with the transaction. And then I'll do Del Mar from Friday through Monday.
Nice. And you got to be excited to get the racing back going. And they've got a, the Saturday card with the San Clemente and the other stakes, as well as actually got a stake tomorrow, too, to get things rolling. You want to, do you mind giving one out for today?
I'll give out, too. I've been
attaboy
the last couple of weeks.
Yep, you keep hitting them.
Two chances gives me a double opportunity. Let's go to race number 6 at Saratoga, a mile on the grass, and I'm going to go to the number 9, Kitten by the Sea. If I'm not mistaken, I think this horse was claimed by Jorge Navarro, but ends up with Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli. But it looks like a pretty good claim and is protected. Exits a bullet work, 6-1 in the morning line. So let's go with the 9, Kitten by the Sea, first-time Todd Pletcher. And then for a second pick, let's go to race number 9, 6.5 furlongs, optional claimer 80. A horse coming out of two, I thought, pretty difficult stakes races at Oaklawn is the one, Wendell Fong, 7-2 in the morning line, joins Robertino Diodoro. But I really think this field is a lot easier than facing Whitmore at Oaklawn Park. So at 7-2, I think offers some value. So we'll go with the one. Wendell Fong is my second pick as my second choice for today in race nine in Saratoga.
Well, certainly would be happy to see Al Gold. I was going to say we won't be able to see Al descending from the boxes, soaking in the adulation as he frequently does when he wins. But it would be nice for Al to get a nice win with Wendell Fong, and I absolutely think you'll get a square number, because you know, the presence of Chad in here with Honest Mischief at 8-5 certainly will hold money coming out of that race behind Volatile, who we're gonna see on Saturday as a heavy favorite, you would expect. In the Vanderbilt. Terrific. Rich, thanks. I'm just a quick hit. Next week we'll get a little bit more time, and we'll flesh out where things stand at Del Mar, and we'll be moving toward the weekend there as well with the return of Honor AP.
Sounds good, Steve. I'm ready at your beck and call anytime.
I appreciate it. Rich Eng, everybody. Rich Eng for Pro Pick, RaceDayLasVegas.com. And Rich, quickly shifting gears without Del Mar last week. He got in Saratoga, and he's been hitting them. He's got one more day of Saratoga before he goes back to analyzing Del Mar for you day to day. So go to RaceDayLasVegas.com on the left side and bop on Rich's noggin, and you'll be able to get his opinions. We want to thank Rich and Tony and Steve Haskin, the usual Thursday get together, but Sean Clancy as well, Dick Powell, Brian Skirka. This was a rock. I told Casey it was going to be a very fast 3 hours. Nick's analysis is up. Tom Herman's pick for the AP Smithwick and his play is up at the website, stevepick.com. We're going to reboot and get our five shows. You know, for many years, you could hit the link off hours with the show ending now. Casey's going to reload the stream to play. For those that you're bearing with us, we appreciate it on the pod delivery. But you'll be able to listen to the last five shows in a row by hitting the Listen Live link during off hours. We'll get that back going again for you. Good luck today. Talk to you tomorrow. Weekend preview at the races.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.